live VBS radio. And to thank you all who are tuned into us, I'd even like to thank all of you who aren't tuned into us, because this is the one show you actually have three ways of getting online. You can call in on our conference call. You can listen on BBS. And for the really far-out ones of you, you can listen to the ethers. Now, I haven't gotten any emails from people that have heard us on the ethers. But actually, I have on Sunday morning for our thing where people join us vibrationally and can connect with the energies of our
Sunday morning. You're on recording. When you're on recording.
I'm not recording?
But I think so.
I always think I shouldn't record this, but all right, I'll go.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
So this is our Monday conference call, and welcome everybody who's listening on the conference call, on BBS, and on the replay line. My name is Wynn Free, and we have an unusual call that we do every Monday that involves me talking to voices that come through my friend Terry that claim to be intelligences in other realms. And I think they just might be who they say they are. But, you know, when somebody is listening to this for the first time, they should not believe that. They should put it through their own tests. So that's why I introduce it that way, because we have a public audience, and in the case of a public audience, people should be skeptical, they should be scrutinizing, and they should run it through their own tests, because if that was not the case, you would start becoming blind believers. Oh my God, Wynn is talking to such and such. And you'll start repeating it like it's the truth. And the fact of the matter, as I have come to understand it, there is, if it's worth repeating, it's not the truth. Or let's just say that didn't come out right. What you can put in words is not the truth. Anything in words is only approximation of something. And that there is something called oneness, unity, consciousness, connecting with higher vibrations and having an experience of that, and that's very hard to put in words. You put it in words and it's diluted and you think you can understand it, and I can't understand it. I've been doing this now for like, they started talking to me 7 years ago, and I can talk about it. Well, sounds like I understand it, and you know, I can talk a long time about it. But the bottom line is, when we're finished, I don't hardly remember what happened. Terry doesn't remember what happened. She has to go back into her consciousness, except the best way to describe it, it's like a zone. You move into a zone, and you feel something shift inside of yourself, and then I give you an explanation. And I said, that's you expanding. And I can't prove that, neither can you. But my best way of watching this over a long period of time, and also asking questions, and also applying my own intelligence and my discernment, and I say, I think this might be working. So if you're listening to the show tonight, this is not something to attempt to understand in your intellect, because that will screw it up. That's a second line of, here everyone just hung up. They want to understand it in their intellect. I'm going to mute you guys. So I don't know. Okay.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
So, the intellect is a second line. It does not mean that your rational powers are not important, because your rationality would be like your first line of scrutiny to see if it all passes. Because it's kind of like if you meet somebody new, you might look at their body language. You hear how they talk. You hear their opinions. And then you decide if you want to get closer to them. Can you be friends with them or not? And then it's once you're vulnerable to someone, you lose a lot of the ability to make those kinds of distinctions. So it's important to use your scrutiny powers to decide if you want to get to know somebody better. So that's the advantage of your mind. But there's an aspect to here where it goes beyond your mind, and you move into energy flows that are experiential, that from the emails I get, people start changing patterns in their life. Sometimes they have healings. Sometimes, oh, they're cheerier. They go into town and they're smiling, where in the past they weren't smiling. They feel something shift. And you know what? If you try to ask them, how did that shift? I don't believe they'd know how, because it's not sensible. It's not linear, but yet it's happening. And for myself, as I watch this, my assessment is, oh, it seems to be working. Whatever we're doing seems to be working. And so I keep doing it. In fact, I dedicate myself to it. So when people are listening, this is something that is, it can be at many levels. It can be mental scrutiny. You can be scrutinizing it from your mind. But at its highest level, I believe that what we are doing is learning how to move into a consciousness of non-separation, of connection, without losing the individual expression, unique expression of our own soul. So we move back and forth, and it becomes familiar as you learn how to do this. It would be somewhat akin to sometimes when people first experience love in a romantic sense, they lose themselves, and then they're afraid they can't move back. It's kind of like they get stuck in love. Now, if they were really in love, they wouldn't be stuck. But usually, oftentimes, it goes to codependency. And then it's not like a free will moving in and out. Even if you're married to someone, even if you come home to them every day, you're not glommed on to that person. You move in and out of connection with them over the course of a day. And that would be a healthy relationship. It's like when somebody has a lot of emptiness inside them, and then someone comes to makes them fix their emptiness, it's hard moving out of that. They think when the person retreats, they're empty again. So then they attempt to cling to the person, and eventually the relationship becomes empty because there's no juice in it, because it's not the person that was making them fulfilled. It was the spirit of the person, the divine aspect of the person that was making them fulfilled. And when they try to possess that aspect of a person, the energy gets lost. And that's when relationships go bad, because people try to possess the energy of another person. It's like one of my favorite English poets was William Blake, who said, "He who catches the joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise, but he who binds himself to a joy does the winged life destroy." And so even if you're married, you have to let go and flow and let those moments when things come together come. And the more you let go, the more the moments come. The more you cling, the more they seem harder to get. So it's kind of the same thing in the relationship with the higher forces of spirit. You can't control them. It's a flow. You move in and out. When I start this show, it's a flow. I'm coming from one place, then they come in, and some people feel their energy, they feel the connection. But if we try to possess it or control it, we don't get the higher forces. We get lower forces that want to control and possess us, and then we get stuck. So it's a romance. Life can be looked at as a romance, and we're actually connecting to I'm saying it in these words, I've never quite said it before, in a romance with the higher realms. And we start being open, we experience them, and then they kind of flow in and out of our life. And you can just say, okay, I'm open when it's the right moment, I'm here, and suddenly you'll feel their energy with you. But you can't do it on demand. I can't do it on demand. But I do know the more I do acts of service, the more I dedicate myself to service, the more they come in. Because they know I need them. I can't do this myself. And it's a group action. And part of their intention, as I have observed, is to help people uplift in this realm, help people raise their vibrations, and help people have some wisdom of how it all works. So with that wisdom, you start to make better choices. Now, I'm not going to talk anymore. It's 7:16, and we were going to have a conversation with them on how they created this realm. And we started that. We've been doing it. This is our third conversation. And this is rather hard to understand, and maybe we'll never understand it. I kind of understood a little bit last week. I should mute everybody. Let me see if there's anyone else on the line. You know, for those of you on BBS, we do have a conference call. And so this whole thing started as an ongoing conference call, then we went public on BBS. Is there anyone on the conference call that would like to say their name besides Francis, Dominic, Gina, and the man from Agalia? Hi. Anyone else want to say anything? And Mark in Des Moines. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
And anyone else? Sometimes we have silent people listening. Let's see.
There are 6 participants in this conference.
You know what? Everyone has said hello. Okay, I'm going to mute you guys.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
And I think Terry's still on the line. Are you on the line, Terry?
Yes, I am.
And are you in McDonald's?
No, I'm in a parking spot on the street in Santa Monica.
You are. Does it feel safe and secure there?
Yeah, it feels really safe here.
Now, some of you may wonder why Terry's in a parking spot in Santa Monica. And, you know, really, there's a preposterousness to this because, you know, the source that talks to us identifies itself as a conglomerate group soul that's in another dimension and that was here before there was a physical realm, okay, that actually was responsible for the creation of the physical realm. Now, of course, you who have read the Bible, what does the Bible say? Let there be light, and the firmament and the stuff across the land. And maybe that was a quick explanation for people that couldn't understand the real explanation. Not we will, because we still don't understand it, but they've been talking to us about it. And it's kind of interesting to even hear them talk because, I mean, are we really talking to the source that created this realm? You know, I can't prove that. Neither can you. Neither can they. All they can do, we can evaluate them by the veracity, which means the way their answers hold together. And, you know, if we always approach it that way, we don't have to worry about negative sources. We don't have to worry about being blind followers. We just go with each moment, and when things connect, either we'll feel the energy or they'll say something that we can apply to our life, and something will apply it and something will shift. I think those are the best tests of anything, rather than just saying, oh, Wynn says he's talking to the creator of this realm, so I better listen to everything they say because I don't want to miss any of this because I may have something good I can repeat. You know, when I was younger, I remember myself, I'm just as bad as everybody else. I would hear somebody that was very wise, and they would be talking, and I'd listen to what they said, and then the next day I'd be repeating it to my friends, and I didn't say, oh, so-and-so said this. It sounded like I made it up. So for a moment, you get a little bit of attention. But are you ready, Terry?
Yes.
Is the,
yes.
What we, okay, well, what we do to start this is we call in the light. And calling in the light is a formalized way of doing something that we do many on this line naturally. And it's about creating a group energy. What I've learned is that when you bring these energies in from really high places, you are moving through an uncharted part of the universe, and we're opening ourselves up to an uncharted part of the universe. So calling in the light is creating protection. It's creating a protected field so that negative influences don't get to us, and also that we connect to a positive source. And again, this is something that I have been working with years now, and it works. And it works because I have the intention for it to work. And I've learned that intention is the most powerful tool that a human has in terms of expanding and growing. Because what you truly intend, you will bring about. So I've developed a strong enough intention to call in protection, to bring energies together. And as long as I'm not violating anyone's free will, and that includes yours and our sources, as long as it's within, say, the goals of all of you to experience this, then that intention seems to work. And if somebody's on the line that says, I'm not sure I want this to happen, it won't work for you. You can just listen with your mind and decide if it feels safe. And that's a good approach because, as I said, your mind is your first line of scrutiny. And so it's good. Some people intuitively go click, 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 and they react to it immediately and say, yes, right on. But many people should be careful how they approach this, so that they make sure when they open their energies up, just like in a romance, there's a courtship, and you don't really open up to another person until you got to know them, and that's what a courtship is for. So there's a place for a courtship in this work we're doing also. So just be patient with me and yourself and see if it resonates. So I'm going to call in the light, and then we're going to continue our discussion on with the sources that identify themselves as Ra'an, which I assume that's who will come in, who is a combination of two group souls, and that seem to be able to speak to us through Terry, mainly because of the work I did in studying and experiencing first the Ra group through writing my book, and then the Elohim channelings I had where I spoke to the Elohim. And We're going to call in the light, Father, Mother, God. We ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now we invoke a blending of our energies, braiding of our energies, all the time maintaining the individual integrity of our own soul essence. And we invite those sources who are positive, service to others, operating in the law of one, to join with us to create a protected space that only positive can access. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have a source present?
Yes. We create you in the love light of one infinite creator. This January 4th, 2010, focused within Santa Monica, California, and also focused, we feel the lesser people on the line, and for instance, at the grid healing. So we focus and offer the focus to the six people on the line and the few people on the VBS radio line. We also experience the rather wooden automatic feeling that comes with the broadcast.
I wanted to clarify something. Excuse me for interrupting. But, you know, on our mass mailings, I've been mainly telling people to listen to BBS as opposed to coming on the phone line. So our listenership on BBS has been going up quite a bit. And that's the reason we have so many, few people on the phone line directly. But I know that there's a number of people listening to us on BBS. And should I encourage more people to come in on the phone line as well? Is that a better connection for you?
Well, give us a minute to work with this as the connection with both through filters through the BBS connection and is somewhat wooden, and we need a different flow of connection to the audience. And now we are picking up the audience. It is on the other side of the rather wooden automatic generated signal. But we experience those people outside of, on the other side of the radio signal. At this time, we greet each and every one of you and are delighted to have you with us at this time. Do you have questions?
You know, we had a discussion last week about how the universe was created. And as I recall, there was originally energy beings. That's my best way of describing the way that I understood it, that were able to shoot frequencies of some sort. And I'm not sure what frequencies look like before there was a physical world. Frequencies are fields that would coalesce in nodes and the nodes would solidify into something physical. That was my memory of trying to understand what was said. Is that a accurate, close repeating of what you said?
It is a bringing together of all the things we said and putting them into the same unit of experience. However, there was a timeline before this wherein we experienced nothingness as we move to that before the beginning. Then there became a separation without much vibration, but a separation of feeling and sensation, which further encouraged that unit that which was not a unit at the time, but eventually became a unit. That section of all that is to begin to wave or vibrate and began to close space around itself, walling off itself, and as space was created and came together, it resounded so solidly and began all that is manifestation of the physical universe with a resounding bang as the space that was created met the space that also was created as it folded over itself.
In the physical universe, is there a location that represented this first beginning?
Yes, we see a nebulae, a horseshoe nebulae of matter.
Was this initially gases that formed into matter, or was it a creation of matter in one thought form?
It was precursor to gases. It was vibration at the start, not forming gases at the start, merely my vibration. The vibration then, as the space was created and met itself folding over and started a vibration moving throughout the disruption, the walled-off portion experienced some frustration, and it was separated out, and has since been trying to get back to itself. There is a loss in the walling off process, and as the intelligence then seeks to be connected in the ways it was connected before the beginning.
Now, when this was first happening, were you surprised at what was occurring? Was it like, wow, we did this and look there. There's something that wasn't there before. Was that...
We are describing before our existence.
This was before your existence.
Yes, as we formed out of this.
I see. And that includes the Elohim. Who was then the intelligence that was projecting these vibrations? Is there any name that is identified historically would connect with that?
But the name Yahweh has had different owners.
And so the Elohim came out of this original projection of energies.
Correct.
And then the Elohim then continued this creation project?
Within the birth of the Elohim entities, they then began to work with the matter that was available and to create spinning vortexes in the light and happiness at the experience and sensation of projecting matter and thus the experience and sensation of pressure giving the beginning of identity to the spun out beings.
Mm-hmm. But then at some point there was vibrations, then there was gas, and then there were physical objects like planets, I would imagine, or suns.
Planets and the galaxies were the result of condensation of material manifesting within and as a result of the spinning projections.
Now, how about life forms? Where did a life form come in this?
Life is everywhere. Life can occur in non-carbon material. Life is the building block of all that is and is an intelligence that pervades all before and after the beginning. However, before the beginning, there was nothing to observe as all was one, and after the beginning, then effects could be observed.
was the first life form that was physicalized, a plant, an amoeba.
That is complex already. It was primordial. It was a vibration that was learning to control its own form.
Initially, the life forms were fairly simple then, that were not.
Yes.
And at some point, the life form became rather complex, as a human would be an example of.
Yes, as the forms became more physicalized and entities began to project them as one would project a playmate, a doll, a companion, and imbue it with life.
And then, at some point, now I'm asking this question, I'm trying to understand it. At some point, the energy forms that were projecting this actually came into it, occupied the life forms. Is that a way of understanding it? Is that true?
That is correct. Originally, the life forms had the complex energies of the intelligence that was manifesting in the life forms, and then the more powerful entities began to come in and manipulate the life form as if it was a puppet and could be manipulated, and then they became owners of the life form and operated it from inside the form rather than from outside.
And at that point, they lost their connection with having been the creator at some point? I mean, did they get trapped in the life form immediately, or did that happen over millenniums?
This happened over time in that as they were focused within the life form, they began to see everything through the eyes of the life form and to take on that viewpoint and forget about their multi-dimension viewpoint and abilities.
So, those of us that are listening right now could very well be those forms of energy that took on life forms, forgot that they were in the life forms, and then ended up in our world as it is today.
Yes, here you are.
Here we are.
To all of them, you.
Us.
Yes,
well,
except not us, because we are outside of it.
So you never came into life forms. And,
right.
And so once you come into a life form, it's very hard to get out of it and go back.
It is not hard. It takes a few lifetimes to get impacted, and in the impact, as one experience life within the third density, the impacts refocus and reset the individuals and their abilities within the third density. And then, with these impacts or injuries or pressures, then resetting her soundly within the third dimension vehicle.
Now, if we were talking about human years and the way time is measured in third dimension.
About what, human years, you say?
Human years, time in 3D, time as we measure it.
Yeah.
How many years ago, if that can be figured out from you, this initial first thing happened before there was anything and then it started?
In the billions. We were coming in the billions of years ago. If we were in Earth years,
now I would imagine there was a certain amount of since this had never been done before, when it was started, I assume it hadn't been done before. Or if it had, maybe you could share that. A universe being created, was there an element of experimentalness about it from the original creative forces?
There was not the perspective to start to give an experimental viewpoint. For experiment, one needs several or multiple viewpoints to compare and inspect. But in the beginning, it was just joy of being forth, manifesting love light.
Not an idea of what was going to become of it all, just the joy of creation of it.
That's correct.
And from your perspective now, when you look at what's become of it all, what's your viewpoint?
At times we become discouraged in that was never the intention to send beings into isolation and aloneness and disconnection and hopelessness. We are saddened that this has become manifest. We are available to send a rescue squad, if one could be sent, to dig the individuals out who have gotten so trapped.
Well, the fact that we're in communication with you and all this and all the work we're doing, in essence, does give an opportunity for. If people can actually connect with these original energies and expand their multidimensional self into this space, would that not allow someone that's in a physical body to recreate or give more opportunities for the upliftment of this realm? Does that make sense?
The individuals have gotten disconnected from love light and individuals within the life experience often do not get enough love, light, or feel enough loved. Would this be able to be brought into your realm so that individuals, as they go through the birth process and are raised, would experience love from their parents and their surroundings, then this would make Earth a paradise?
We had a question that I had asked some people for questions, and there was a question that came in that actually the answer to it is covered in a lot of our materials, and it had to do with the idea that there was a graduation, that we're at the end of a cycle, and that there was going to be a separation of souls, those that graduated into, this is probably a complex answer, but in simple, to a higher dimensional Earth that did have a loving frequency attached to it. And that those that didn't graduate would, the question was, where would they go? And of course, in the material that we've covered through the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and also through many of my earlier questions, that there was another planet in some other star system that was being formed or created for cycle repeaters to go to, and where they would go through another long series of incarnations with another opportunity to graduate. So I'll ask that question. That was my answer, and you can give the current
question.
Pardon me?
We have the question. We have the question. The answer is that Earth, this is a scientific answer, a physics answer, as Earth moves into a higher frequency of existence, only those individuals who are open to love, give and receive love, which is a higher frequency, are able to withstand the higher frequency Earth is moving into. Other individuals are not able, because of their fixed nature and their glomming onto lower frequencies or more growth frequencies, are not able to track with a higher energy. Therefore, those individuals, as you see them now, perhaps the more sensitive ones, are beginning to have breakdowns, which can be good, mental breakdowns, which then cast as a piece of steel may be cast by the fire and shaped to begin to become less rigid and begin to open up and to express their dissatisfactions, which then allow them to move through them and move to a higher frequency. The higher frequency is more amenable to love, light, and so individuals who have an open heart and the ability to love and to sense and perceive surroundings with caring rather than rigidly hold on to a fixed position. Those individuals who are able to move with the flow will then be able to stay with Project Earth. The other individual will then move and be guided to a lower level Earth in another solar system where they may resume their chosen path until they wake up or until they are able to shake loose their traumas and their hurts and to move up into a higher frequency. Hello? Hello? Did we lose you? Hello? Hello?